Welcome to Straight and Curly,
a podcast for self-improvement junkies.
I'm Kelly Exeter.
And I'm Carly Jacobs.
This is episode 72.
Hello and welcome to Straight and Curly. This week's episode comes straight from an awesome discussion in the Straight and Curly Facebook group. It's going on right now. Laura said, okay, I need help with getting up on time. I get plenty of sleep, but when the alarm goes off, it's like I physically can't get up. So I snooze and snooze and snooze. I used to be great at getting up, but I'm terrible now. Even if I turn the lights on as soon as I'm awake or put my alarm out of the room so I don't have to get up to get it, nothing is working for me at the moment. Does anyone have any ideas that might help? I feel like I've tried everything and it's really getting to me. I'm going to hand this over to Kelly straight away, our resident early riser.
Yeah, so Laura got the best responses to this question. And yeah, the responses are everything I love about our group. And there were so many great ideas in there that I just felt like we just had to share them with all our listeners because, yeah, they were really good. And there was quite a lot of things in there that I personally hadn't thought of myself, probably because I'm just always been an early riser. But I want to talk about you first, Carl, because do you know what? I actually wrote a guest post for you and I came across it the other day because I was just going through all my old articles and I forgot that I wrote this for Carly and it was something like 6 reasons why it's awesome to get up early in the morning.
I remember that.
And I think it's because you are not naturally an early riser. Is this correct?
That is completely correct. I'm not an early riser. I'm what I refer to as an in-betweenie. So I'm rarely asleep before midnight, but I'm pretty useless the second it ticks over to midnight. So I sleep from midnight to 7:30 and I generally hit the gym at about 8 o'clock. So I wouldn't say that's crazy late or crazy early. It just kind of is what it is. And that's certainly become I'm quite flexible as well. So Ben has business partners that live overseas. So he's often up at 1 o'clock having meetings with one of his employees who lives in Canada. There's a few in Singapore. So he kind of has a strange body clock. And his brother, who he also works with, actually lives backwards. So he, as long as I've known him, he starts his workday at 7 o'clock at night and works through until probably about 4 or 5 and then goes to sleep and sleeps until about 2 or 3 in the afternoon starts his day. And that's just his clock.
Yeah, yeah. There's no right or wrong, is there?
No, and he can't fix it. It's not something he's ever been able to change. So it's I have certainly adjusted to the more nocturnal ways of being with my partner and you know, being around him and his brother and their business, and also stopping traditional work myself a couple of years ago does give me a bit more freedom. I'm also a theatre kid, so when you grow up in sort of your sleep forming habit years in high school, if you're out until 11:30 most school nights and then you get home and you have to wind down after a show and then get up and go to school the next morning, I think that has actually been a big thing in training my sleep habits. So yeah, I sleep from 12 until about 7:30 on weekdays, and on weekends I can sleep in until about 9, but I will rarely sleep past 9, and that's pretty much across the board. And I can deal with 6 hours of sleep for a while and then I need a big sleep and I'm fine. But yeah, I'm pretty solid, not an early riser, not a late night person, just straight up in between.
Yeah, and it's actually, and just that's an important thing to know, is because I remember you asked me this question like maybe a year ago and you're like, why is it seen as, you know, the right thing to do to get up early and virtuous? And you know, you might be getting the same, like I get 7-ish hours sleep a night, I go to bed at 9:15, I wake up at 4:15, I get 7 hours sleep a night, and people are like, whoa, that's so crazy, you're amazing. But no one says that to the person who sleeps 12 till 7. Like, they're getting exactly the same amount of sleep. And so this episode isn't necessarily going to be why you should get up early every morning kind of thing. It's just more if you want to get up early and be that person that's able to get up early. And the only reason I kind of promote it as a thing to do, and it's mainly for parents, and obviously your kids need to be good sleepers. If your kids are not sleepers, then this is off the table for you right now until they are. But if your kids are good sleepers and there's a hobby that you want, or, you know, you're trying to write a book, or you're looking, you want to exercise every single day, and or just do something for yourself every single day. To me, when you have kids, the early hours of the morning are the best time to do that. And the reason is because you're not stealing time from anybody. So if you're a parent, anything that you do during daytime hours, that's just for you. It feels like you're stealing time from somebody else. Like, it, yes, it's a mindset that you need to get over. Like, you should be able to do stuff for yourself and not think about that. But it's just something that's built into us. We feel like we're either stealing time from our partner or we're stealing time for our kids if we go and do something, you know, during the day or in the early evening when they're at home and we go and do that thing. So I love getting up early because I can do whatever I want and it's completely guilt-free. I'm not stealing time from Aunt. I'm not stealing time from the kids. It's my own time, and that's when I, you know, so I get up early to exercise and to write and also just to get a little bit of a jump on the day. So by the time everybody else gets up, like, I'm ready for them. Whereas if I'm rolling out of bed at the same time as them, it's a little bit of a shit fight, to be honest. Everyone's like, where's this and where's that? And I'm not mentally ready for the day, much less, and no, neither are they. And that combined makes mornings a little bit frantic. Whereas if I'm up ahead of, and I've heard people tell me, yes, you know, even if I just get up half an hour before everybody else, our mornings run so differently to everybody else's. And that's, I guess, another point where I'm so passionate about getting up early, is because I just feel like your morning sets up the rest of your day. So if you're someone who can happily roll out of bed at 7 o'clock and, you know, your kids get your kids off to school and everybody's calm and no worries, that's great. I'm not that person. So I get up early so that I'm not yelling at my kids in the morning, and when we walk out the front door, you know, to go to school and go to work, everybody's calm and chilled, and that's my goal because I feel it just sets up the rest of the day. Anyway, that was a fair monologue about mornings, and I was like, I'm not going to try and sell mornings to you. Okay, I am.
But mornings are great. They're 4:30. It's amazing.
Yeah, they are amazing. But so this is for people who would like to get up earlier in the morning, but they're really struggling to do so. These tips that we're going to share, this is for you guys. So, Carls, you had – oh, hang on. I had a tip to start with. Oh, so my tip for Laura was, I felt that sometimes when you wake up in the morning, if you're waking up with – like, everyone has to understand that nobody wakes up in the morning and goes, yes, my alarm just went off. Let's get up and hit the day hard. So let go of that mindset. The other thing is, like, if you wake up and go, oh, no, I need more sleep. I want, it's kind of like a scarcity mindset. So you're like, you're waking up going, if I get up, I'm missing out on more sleep. And what you just need to do is flip that to kind of an abundance mindset of, if I get up, I get to do this, this, and this, whereas ordinarily I wouldn't. So it's just a tiny little flip on the story that you're telling yourself when the alarm goes off. Works for some, doesn't work for others. But yes, Carls, you, I liked yours. Yours is typically practical, Carly.
So mine is, I book in non-refundable exercise classes. So I do F45, and if I book in a class and I don't show up, they charge me $20. Yeah. And I hate wasting money. So that's a huge one. I've dragged myself to F45 with just the most killer period pain because I refused to waste $20. I did half the class and left, but I still felt good because I was like, I tried.
Yes.
And I tried to not waste money, and yes, go me. I'll also meet a friend for exercise. So a friend of mine who is just the most crazy early riser ever. I'm pretty sure I mentioned her before. I was a bridesmaid in her wedding 2 years ago, and stayed with her family for the week of her wedding. And they were just like all in bed at nine o'clock at night. And then the next morning they're up making coffee and it's 5:30 and it was like nothing was out of the ordinary. And I'm just kind of going, what, how do you people exist? What land is this? I'm like, there's another 5:30 in the morning? I thought there was only a 5:30 in the afternoon. What are you people? So I would always meet her for exercise because she was kind of up and doing things anyway. And she would never bail because she was up and ready.
She's already up, yeah.
She was already going, and I would go and meet her and that would be totally fine. I also book in conference calls and Skype meetings for early in the morning because I'm never late for anything. And so that also forces me to get out of bed and start my day. Like, if I'm not going to the gym in the morning, booking in a conference call at 8 o'clock in the morning is a really good way to get me out of bed. Otherwise, because I do work for myself, I can just stay in bed for an extra half an hour and it's winter and it's cold and maybe I'll just make that another half an hour. But that just elongates my work day and means I end up working, you know, in front of the TV at night, which I don't enjoy doing. But then also I totally sympathize with the people that want to stay in bed because my partner, he's made of lava. He's got the yeah, highest body so temperature. And it's cold and I try to get out of bed and he's in his deep phase of sleep because we sleep sort of in different schedules and he'll be very deeply asleep at that point and he kind of just like clings on to me and I try to leave and I'm like, this is the nicest thing in the world and I don't want to go but I have to kind of disentangle him from me and get out of the bed and it's that makes it difficult. But yeah, you just, if you have something that you have to do to get out of bed, that makes it so much easier.
Definitely. And I really like Amanda's suggestion. It was kind of in line with my change the story one. And Amanda said she heard this from Darren Rouse where she says, it's what I do. So in the morning when the alarm gets off, she says, I get up because it's what I do. And yeah, so instead of engaging in that, oh, it's cold, should I get up? But maybe I'll just have another 5 minutes. And you know, that long conversation ensues. And then by the time you've had a long conversation with yourself, like it's all over. Whereas yeah, Amanda just goes, alarm's gone off and I'm getting up because this is what I do. And she said, as soon as you let the thought come into your brain with an helpful story or a trillion of them, it's all over, as I just said. But if you just cut it short with that very simple, it's what I do, it short circuits everything and, yeah, it just bumps you out of bed. Yeah, nothing ejects you out of bed, but it lets you, yeah, just get up without having too much overthinking involved in it.
The next one I really love is from Frances, and she was saying how she had a couple of months where she was forced to get up earlier and ride into town with her husband because he starts work earlier than her. And she was saying that she hated it for about a month, but she soon learned that she's more productive when she goes in to work early. And once in a while, she catches herself wanting to go in late now, but she usually goes in early even though she doesn't have to, and you just have to condition yourself into it. I completely agree. When I worked in an office in Canberra, I started doing a boot camp that started at 6:30 and finished at 7:30. And by the time I'd go straight to work because there was no point in going home. By the time I got to work, it was 8 o'clock. So I would start my day at 8 o'clock and then I'd get to leave at 4. It was amazing.
Yeah, I was used to be the same when I did triathlon. I was the same. I would get to work around 7:30, 8 o'clock because there was just no point going home. And I just loved having those early hours to just be productive when nobody else was talking to me. And yeah, and
no one was there.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's amazing. So yeah, it's just focus on the benefits, I guess, is what Frances is saying. Like focus on what you're getting out of it rather than what you're missing out on. Emma and Michelle suggested looking into whether there was something going on in Laura's life that was stopping her from wanting to face the day. And yeah, and Alex agreed. She was asking, you know, have you changed anything in your diet or evening routine lately? Because she said even the smallest shift can have a massive subconscious impact on your sleep quality and your energy levels on waking. Because Laura did say like when she wakes up in the morning, she's just so tired and just doesn't want to get up. But then I also questioned, like, I think when you wake up at 7 o'clock in the morning, Carl, are you like, I'm awake? Or are you like,
No. I'm not, I'm not a wake up in the morning, roll over, hate life kind of person, but I definitely don't spring out of bed. But having said that, once I'm out of bed, yes, and I also need to pee so badly every single morning.
Same.
So it's I don't understand. Like I'll wake up next to Ben and he will have been in bed for the same amount of time as me. And on a Saturday, I wake up and I bolt to the bathroom. It's like I'm doing this immediately. And, you know, 3 hours later, he's like, oh yeah, I guess I'll pee now. And I'm like, where is all of the, I don't understand this. It's just, it's mental. So yeah, I often have to get up to go to the bathroom. But once I sort of got up and got dressed, and it takes me probably 5 or 10 minutes of sort of pottering around and getting my day going, and then I'm fine. I'm just like, oh yeah, this is great.
Yeah.
Did my thing. And my day always starts a lot better when I go to the gym as well. So put my clothes on immediately, get to the gym. By the time I've finished at the gym, I'm just in a great mood. And
just get
if I get up early enough, yeah, it just starts things beautifully. Michelle said, I found that when I'm working on projects at work that I'm not fond of or with people I'm not fond of, it's way harder to get going in the morning. which makes perfect sense because you're trying to delay the inevitable. So she's been trying to work on that lately too. Yeah, having a shower and laying out your clothes and prepping coffee before bed helps a bit as well. I also think it's a really good idea, for instance, as I was saying before, I schedule meetings and Skype conversations for early in the morning. And if I've got a particularly unpleasant thing that I have to do or have to talk to someone about, I schedule it first thing in the morning because you want to get it out of the way earlier in the day and you've got less time to think about it. You just have to get up and go with it rather than spend most of the day being like, I don't want to have that conversation.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Katie pointed Laura to a Mel Robbins TED Talk. I think if you just Google Mel Robbins TED Talk, you will find it, in which Mel mentions activation energy. And Mel Robbins also has this thing called the 5-second rule, which I tried reading about it. I'm still not quite across what it is, but I think it's basically like you've got 5 seconds to just start something. So, and in the morning, getting up, like just get yourself out of bed, 5 seconds. And I kind of think like having like a little morning routine, and someone else mentions this later as well, is just having something that you look forward to. So when I get up in the morning, like the very first thing I do is after going to the toilet, because I'm like you, Carly, I don't get like, I couldn't sleep in if I wanted to, because when my alarm goes off, I have to wait. Like all these people are like, I'm just going to lie here for another hour. I'm like, I couldn't lie there for another hour if I tried. I can lie there for another 5 minutes. And I got to go to the toilet.
I'm pretty good at ducking to go to the toilet and then just like go straight back to bed. I'm pretty good at doing that.
Yeah, actually, well, once I'm awake, I'm awake. Because that's my other thing. Oh, because this is another thing that nobody actually mentions is like once you get in the routine of it, like it gets to the point where you're awake. Like whether you're tired or not, you'll be lying there and you're awake, so you may as well get up. And that's the thing for me. People are like, how do you wake up at 4:15? And I'm like, well, because the alarm goes off. And even if I was like, I can't be bothered getting out of bed, I'm just going to lie here, I don't fall back to sleep. So I'm like, well, if I'm awake, I may as well get up then, right? But I do have my little thing that I, you know, so when I wake up in the morning and after I wee, I go and I have like a big glass of water with lemon in it, and then I scroll through Instagram, and that's like kind of like my little thing that I do the very, very first thing that I wake up, and it's just a little pleasurable thing that I do. So I think having some kind of little pleasurable thing that you can do is definitely, yeah, a good thing. And actually Paul mentions that a bit later.
Oh, that actually reminds me, before I get to Paul's one, this comes up. I might as well do Paul's and then okay. as well. Let's just do that. So Paul said, try choosing something you really want to do and make the first 30 minutes of your day doing that thing as long as you get up on time. And he says that for a while his was reading all his RSS feeds and saved up articles, and it could just be the latest news about PlayStation games or useful Facebook tips he's been meaning to read, but he'd give himself 30 minutes of free reading with a coffee and that was it. And he said, if I slept through it, I missed out. So one of my biggest tips is do not have your phone in your room. A lot of people pick up their phone and just frig around for half an hour first thing in the morning, every morning. My phone is not allowed in my room. If I want to check my phone, I have to leave the room. I don't keep it plugged in next to my bed. I keep it in the lounge room. So when I hear it, I have to get up to turn it off, and it's not allowed to come into bed with me, because you just sit there scrolling through and reading. And it's so funny. Well, when I look at my blog stats, I think it's up to like 75% of people read my blog via mobile devices. And my top time, because I publish at 5:30 to catch all the early morning rises, and my top time of people reading my blog posts is in that 6 to 7:30 in the morning wake up time. And I can literally see people waking up in the morning and clicking on my article and reading it, which is great. Please do more of that. I would love that. But I'm like, you're reading my blog in bed on your phone, you cheeky monkey.
I am fundamentally opposed to mobile phones in bed. I'm not fundamentally opposed to you reading my post. I fully endorse that.
Exactly. Read it on the train or read it on your coffee break at work. But first thing in the morning, if you are the type of person that can pick up your phone and read a couple of things and then hop up, that's great. But I just know that so many people are there in bed going, I've got to get up. I'm just going to check Instagram. I've got to get up. I've just got to check Facebook. I've got to get up. My tip as well, if you use your phone as an alarm or if you are kidding yourself and think you need your phone next to your bed, a lot of people are like, oh no, I need my phone next to my bed. There's just actually no logical reason why you do. You can have it out in the lounge room and on loud so that if someone calls you, you can go and get it, much like home phones used to work back in the olden days. But there's no need to ever have your phone right next to your bed. Yeah, and I just think that, yeah, people waste so much time first thing in the morning just scrolling around. Delete Facebook off your phone. Do it.
I can't do it.
I've done it. I haven't had it on for like, because I actually don't go on regular Facebook anymore. I have the Pages app on my phone and the Groups app on my phone, and that's it. So I can manage my Pages and my Groups, and I don't have to go on regular Facebook, and it's amazing.
Oh, okay. I'm not sure I've got that in me at the moment, but I might think about it one day. I might do it as an experiment for the podcast.
Oh, you should.
So Mel says, assuming you're actually getting the right amount of sleep for your body, which Laura did seem to think she was, and your health is fine, what Mel says is she just accepts that she's going to feel very average for the first half hour, and she can't officially judge how she feels or make a call on how she feels unless she's actually been kind of up for an hour. And she said she also gives herself like a no alarm day on a Sunday morning, and she really feels that having that little treat morning where she's not waking to an alarm works for her. But yeah, she definitely says we're not a good judge of how we're going to feel when we first wake up, because nobody feels good when they first wake up. So make the call once you've been up for a while. You got Jessica's one there, Carl.
So Jessica agrees and says it's totally true for her as well. And she said it's important to assume that some people just aren't morning people. So Jessica's saying it doesn't matter when she gets up. She's always functionally useless for all but menial tasks for at least the first hour. And she's just accepted that she's never going to be productive in that time, and structuring her day in a way that works for her instead of trying to force herself to act like she's a morning person just makes everything so much easier for her. And I think that that's really great. I'm definitely not a morning person, but I don't spring out of bed and, you know, get super excited about stuff. And my energy is quite high. I slump in the afternoon. I cannot do anything at 4 o'clock. I just can't in the afternoon. Yeah. I just, it's like that time is dead to me. I've taken to going to the gym in the afternoon now because of that. So if I skip my morning one, I'll go at 4:30 in the afternoon, because no matter what I'm working on, I just click around for like half an hour at 4 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm the same because I'm be at the office until like, yeah, in theory, when I'm at the office on Mondays and Wednesdays, I could leave at 5, but I just seem to get to 4 o'clock and I'm like, I'm done here. Like nothing else I'm going to do is going to be useful. I may as well go home and see the kids. So yeah, I think I really like that idea from Jessica, where it's just, you can not be a morning person and get up early, and you just don't put an expectation on yourself that you're ever going to be the person who just charges out of bed and loves life at that time in the morning. Like if you're getting up early, it's for a reason. Just, yeah, work to that reason, but don't put the expectation on yourself that you're ever going to be loving it or amazing at it. And like I said, I'm a morning person and I don't charge out of bed, and you know, and it takes me a solid half hour to get going. And God, if, you know, Ant has taken, he gets up in the fours as well. And we've both learned, like, just don't talk to each other at that time of morning, because neither of us are interested in having a conversation.
Yeah, exactly. And also I think I think that the whole morning person concept, I swear it's hereditary.
Yes.
I look at families and I think that if it's not genetic, it's a cultural thing.
Yeah.
So Ben's whole family, none of them are morning people. They are night owls that drink coffee until midnight, and they listen to the midnight quiz that Kelly's horrified exists and that people are actually awake to listen to. They're night people, and I've always been an in-betweeny, and since being a part of their family, I'm much more of a night person now. And actually this week I've been terrible. I've been up until 2 every night this week.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I don't even really know why. It just kind of happened. I think I'm mildly jet lagged still from traveling all over the place, but it's fine. I just kind of get up at 8 and survive on 6 hours sleep. And is that 6 hours sleep? That's not, is it? 2?
Oh yeah, that's 6 hours sleep. You're so jet lagged you can't do math.
No, I just counted on my fingers, guys. Out loud. Oh my God. On the podcast.
That's brilliant.
That was awesome.
All right.
Katie says setting the coffee pot to automatically start 2 minutes before her alarm goes off helps her. If the smell of coffee waiting for her tends to get her to drag herself out of bed a bit easier, that's a great one.
I love that. I wish I could set my coffee thing to do that. That would be amazing. Lynette suggests the Alarmy app. So I've not I've not come across this app, but she says you can choose to do math problems or take a photo or scan a barcode and it won't shut up until you do those things. And she says, you know, so choose a barcode of something in the fridge and you have to literally go to the fridge to scan the barcode before the alarm will shut up. And I was like, that's genius. I'm not sure your partner would love it, but that definitely gets – and because I do find that the hardest part of getting out of bed is getting out of bed. So that's a good one.
Yeah, that's a great one.
And I want to say Ali's one because I really, really think this is quite genius because I have noticed this myself. So she sets her alarm for either the end or the beginning of a 90-minute sleep cycle. So as a rule, it's not hard and fast, but as a rule, humans sleep in 90-minute sleep cycles. So if your alarm is set for right in the middle of when you're in a sleep cycle, you're just going to feel like death when it goes off. Whereas like mine is set for pretty much the end of a 90-minute sleep cycle. And I generally get up before my alarm, which I find a little bit annoying. Like I would rather get up when it goes off. I kind of feel really cheated out of those 3 minutes. But I have to say it is easier to wake up when you're in that lighter mode of sleep than like when you're right in the middle of a sleep cycle and then you've got something blaring at you to wake up. So I think that's genius, Ali. So good one.
Yeah, I like that one as well. We went through Paul's one. We've got Melanie, Rachel and Claire. This one's great. They all recommend the Lumi Wake Up Light and they say it's a complete game changer. Melanie says the clock changed her life. She says that is not an exaggeration. She's very staunch about this, guys. Melanie loves her her wake up light. Highly recommended. It slowly wakes you so you wake before your alarm and brings you out of sleep naturally. You need the light at eye level though. Honestly, I've recommended them to so many people and they've all been pleased. I used it to get to sleep too, and the combination of getting to sleep quicker and actually waking when I need to is a game changer. I've got the Philips Wake Up Light. It's not the Lumi. I don't think it's the Lumi. I think it's a different brand, but it's perfect. And it has, you can choose, they've got all these different settings on it. And one of them, I don't know what the official settings are, but I call it the Asian rainforest. So it's like there's regular rainforest and then there's like rainforest that has like plinky plunky Asian music in the background. So the Asian rainforest is my favorite. And it just kind of wakes you up in this beautiful kind of meditation yoga studio land of, you know, soft light, and it's a much nicer way of waking up rather than the like of an alarm. And it's just, it makes you less grumpy. You kind of, you know, it's just lovely. And I need it because I live in a one bedroom flat that doesn't have a lot of natural light. So that helps a lot, particularly for people who might live in places that are like Queensland. You guys, it's dark a lot there. Is that right? You've got really terrible daylight savings, or you don't have daylight savings?
They don't have daylight savings.
Yeah.
And neither do we in Perth, just quietly.
Oh, really? Oh, that's why. Yeah. Oh, interesting. That's why we get screwed up twice a year when my chime changes and yours doesn't.
And you think I've died because I'm not answering Skype.
Where's Kelly?
And so finally, I really like Jeanette's one here because it is so true. So I'm going to finish up on this tip. And she says, my teenage son has found a way to help me get up. He tells me he needs me to wake him up early to finish off his homework. For some reason, I have no trouble getting up for my kids.
That's a really great one. I love that. I think my mum's quite similar as well. She's never let me miss a deadline before.
Yeah, so that's it. Just have someone else in your family require you to be up to do something for them. Why do we find it easier to do things for other people but not for ourselves? Who knows, but whatever works. Thank you so much for listening to Straight and Curly. This week's show notes and links will be available at straightandcurly.com. We also have an incredible Facebook group full of fellow self-improvement junkies. So if that's you too, come join us at facebook.com/groups/straightandcurly.
And if you have any questions or weird self-improvement hacks you want us to trial, you can tweet us at Kelly Exeter or at Smaggle, or you can email us at hello@straightandcurly.com.
Jackrabbit FM.
For your ears.
Who is that? Hi,